People all around us are desperate for hope. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
I love the story of the visiting preacher that was preaching in a southern church, and he was preaching along, and he said, "Folks, I believe God wants this church to walk." And the man on the front row said, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk." After a little while longer, he said, "I believe God wants this church to fly." And the man on the front row said, "Let it fly, preacher, let it fly." He said, "Now it's going to take some money for this church to fly." And the man said, "Let it walk, preacher, let it walk."
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Continuing in Victory.
Well, our text today is the record of David's last assembly with all of the people of Israel. He is in Jerusalem, probably at the palace, probably standing there at the porch of the palace. And he's charging the people, and he's charging Solomon to do what he could not do. That was the building of the temple. God had said to David, "You cannot build the temple, for you have been a bloody man. You have been a man of war." And so he is commissioning his son to build the temple. And what we have here in 1 Chronicles in these chapters are the last recorded days of David's life. And we find that although David is now old and feeble, he still has a heart for God and a passion for the things of God. And I want to just say today, thank God for men of years who still dream to be used of God. And I really believe you can tell a man's character the older he gets if he's passionately still pursuing God and has in his heart this desire to be faithful unto death, or if he slowly degenerates and backslides. You'll find what really was there all the while. And David is showing us that he really was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who right to the very end wanted to see God's house built, wanted to honor the Lord. Thank God for men like that. Lehman Strauss, a famous pastor in the San Diego area years ago, said, "The last days of our life should be spent giving thought as to how much we can give, not how much we can keep." And that's exactly what David is thinking about. How can I invest in the next generation? How can we see the temple established for generations to come? Caleb was 85 years old when he fought the giants in the promised land in Joshua chapter 14. Caleb was 85 years old when he said, "I want that mountain." He was a man that was pursuing and pressing on for the Lord. And so David, in verse 1, calls all of the leaders of Israel together. Maybe you caught that a moment ago. It says, the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the captains of the companies. There were 24 courses of priests that were gathered, according to 1 Chronicles 26. Some scholars say that there would have been about 2,000 per course. That means there would have been somewhere around 24,000 priests standing before David as he spoke. Then we have the princes of the 12 tribes standing there, the 12 princes. We have the captains of the king's companies. We have each of the counselors of David, those mighty men of David. What we're reading here is a last charge to the spiritual and the military and the academic leadership of the nation of Israel before David would die. And David continually, until the day of his death, desired that God would be glorified and that a temple would be built. 2 Samuel 7 and 1, "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." In other words, David said, look at my house is nice, but the ark is still in the tabernacle that is made of curtains. And I want to see the temple established for the future. And so this morning I want to share with you four lessons that we can learn from David with respect to how to continue for the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you right now this morning that the application I will make is for the Lancaster Baptist Church. How can we continue victoriously? But I'm about to share four principles with you that could change your life. These four principles could build any family. These four principles could metamorphosize any business. These four principles are Bible principles that would be blessed if you would apply them into your life. And of course, my heart and passion, as I believe David's was for the work of God expanding, and I believe that's your heart as well. But here are some principles today that, if applied by faith, will bring us to victory in our lives. How do we go from here to victory? Let's think about that this morning. First of all, I want you to jot down in your notes that there must be the preparation of the heart. You see, the heart of the problem is often a problem of the heart. And so we must, as a church, as individuals, with every bold venture, make sure that our heart is properly prepared. Now, notice David's heart. In verse 2, then King David stood upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people, as for me, I had," notice this phrase, "in my heart to build an house for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant." We see the preparation of the heart. I want you to know David's preparation today. The word heart speaks of the inner man. It is the totality of our innermost being. It is everything that David could muster. He says, "From my heart I've had this desire." And does not the Bible say, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord"? Listen, God is not calling us to a haphazard or haphazard type of Christianity. He's not calling us to a half-hearted Christianity. He said, listen, if you're going to get involved, do it with all of your heart, with all of your heart. David was a man whose heart was totally engaged. David had a pure heart. Psalm 24 and verse 3, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." David had a pure heart. David, I see in this passage, had a passionate heart. He was a man who didn't gather all of the leadership together just to talk about the weather. He was a man that had a passion to share with the people. And we're not here this morning just doing church. We are here saying, Lord, we want to continue passionately for you. And I see all the time, and you do as well, men that just don't have their heart into it. Ladies that just don't have their heart into it. Look, you meet a lot of people that, they're going through the motions. Their heart may not be into it, but Psalm 42 in verse 1 says, "As the heart, the deer, panteth after the water brook, so my soul after thee, O God, for my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" David had a passionate heart. And I want you to recognize this morning, as we look ahead to March chapter 6, and I want you to see this quote here by Ken Blanchard. What an amazing quote. "The ultimate secret for generosity is a changed heart." Let's say that together. The ultimate secret for generosity is... See, why did David get so involved in the temple building? Why would anybody be involved in the local church? Why would we keep continuing passionately? There's only one reason you will, and that is because you have not gotten over the fact that Jesus is in your heart and that he's changed your life and he's made you whole. And I'm going to tell you something. If that's real, it's indicated in the passion of your Christian life, you see. And so David's preparation and excitement was a reflection of his heart. And one of the first things that wanes as the heart for God wanes is generosity. I concur with Ken Blanchard. So David was preparing from the heart. Notice, secondly, Solomon's preparation. I love this. Now, fathers, listen to this. Kind of catch the picture. Here's David with all the mighty rulers of the kingdom, but he's really talking to Solomon here. And he's challenging his son. And notice what he says in verse number 8, just for a moment. The Bible says, and Solomon, rather verse number 8 of chapter 28. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our Lord, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess the good land. Verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father. Now, David was prepared. That's fine. Now catch this analogy. Thank God for every 75-year-old man in this church who prepares and participates in the work of the Lord. But it's time for some young marrieds. It's time for some young men to grow up in their faith as well. Can I get an amen to that? That's what's happening here. There's the transference. David said, I'm ready. Solomon, you get ready, because we're not going to go forward unless every generation is involved. So he says, Solomon, verse 8, I want you to seek God's commandments. And the word seek here means to inquire, to consult and inquire of God. Now, the heathen nations around Israel had sought diviners and necromancers and witchcraft, and they had sought many different false spiritual counselors. And David says, Solomon, I want you to seek after my God. And fathers, that ought to be the heart of every father here, that we ought to think and pray that our sons and daughters would follow in our steps and follow after our faith. And this ought to be our passion today and something that we pray for. And so he says, I want you to seek God's commandments, and then I want you to serve God willingly. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, and now, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father. Would you say that with me? And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God. Say it again. And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God. Look at dads. A lot of times our sons, they know the church. They know the Christian school. They know where the gymnasium is. They know some of this type of thing. But we want to pray that they have a personal relationship with God. That they know how to pray, that they know how to love, serve, and give to God. And here, David said, Solomon, I want you to love God. And by the way, parents, that ought to be the passion of your heart. How about this little single mom on the video, and she said, I want my children to know God. Amen. That ought to be our passion today. Amen. That's why we come to church. Right. That's why we continue. That our children may know God. And ladies and gentlemen, far more than ministry, far more than programs, we must have a relationship with God where we are praying and seeking His will and learning His attributes. And Solomon is challenged to serve God in this way. And so with a perfect heart, he's to prepare his heart. Notice, secondly, not only must we have the preparation of the heart, but secondly, we must have the preparation of the mind, all right? How do you get from here to victory? You got to start with the heart that's ready. Then you got to get your mind ready. You've got to be thinking properly. Look at verse 9 now again. He says, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Now, I want you to know, I want you to have personal knowledge of, you see. And the most significant contribution we make in this life is the passing of the truth to the next generation. We ought not to say, oh, I don't get anything out of that. We ought to say, yes, we get to invest in the next generation so that young people can learn the truth of God. How many of you are glad that children can be saved? John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. You see, the world today has abandoned the children, and they're letting children be raised by MTV and sex ed classes, and the world's education is very evident in the moral demise that's happening all around us today. But thank God that he has given the institution of the home, and he has given the institution of the church to pass the faith along. And so we've got to have a prepared heart, but we've got to have a prepared mind. And David says, Solomon, I want you to know. I want you to know God. Now, what kind of a mind do we need to have as a church in this hour? Notice, first of all, it must be a willing mind. A willing mind. Look at verse 9 once again. Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. That is a desirous mind. There's got to be something in our hearts today that says, Lord, I am willing to pursue you. I am willing to continue after you. Nehemiah 4:6 says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. It was not just Nehemiah, it was the people that had a prepared mind for the work of the Lord. And by the way, the Lord knows our heart. Verse number 9 also says, with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. Listen, how many of you believe that God is omniscient? He knows all. And I'll tell you right now, he knows exactly what's on your mind today. He knows if you sit in church and in your mind change your oil or count the clock, or he knows what's going on in your mind today. And God says, I'm searching the minds and I'm looking for some people with a willing mind. People that believe that I can. People that are willing to trust and to follow. And that ought to be the spirit that we have today, is the spirit of a willing mind. Years ago, we were having one of these banquets. We used to rent the fairgrounds. And back when we did that, one of our members wrote me a letter that I filed and took a look at last week. And she said this. She said, the banquet is the highlight of my year. It's the ball, the prom, the homecoming, all in one. I don't have to go to banquets. I get to go, love to go, want to go, need to go, pray to go, work to go. Each one touches my life in a different way. Thank God that I have a job so that I might be a part. That was her spirit. How many of you would say that reflects a willing mind? That's someone that's thought it through and said, you know what? This is good. This is great. I want to be a part of it. So we must have a willing mind. Secondly, we must have a believing mind. You must have a believing mind. I don't care if it's for your family, your business. I don't care if it's for the church. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 10. Everybody with me so far? I'm going to talk as fast as I can. You listen as fast as you can, all right? Verse 10. Take heed now. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Now a believing mind must be strong. And twice David says this to Solomon. He says it again in verse number 20. He says, be strong and have courage and do it. Now from these two admonitions, it appears to me that Solomon may have been a little overwhelmed in the task before him. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been overwhelmed with a task before you? Am I the only one? Come on, if you have a teenager, raise both hands. And if you have teenagers, sometimes you've got to say, man, I need to have a strong mind. And I see here that Solomon twice is being told, like Timothy in the New Testament, here's being told, be of good courage, Solomon. Be strong and do it. Stick with this, Solomon. You need to get this done. In fact, he says specifically in verse number 10, be strong and do it. Like the Nike symbol, just do it. Just get it done. And yet some people have trouble with keeping that mind strong in that way. 1 Chronicles 28:20. Again, we see it here as he is challenging Solomon to be strong and do it. And the implication is, Solomon, God is always present. It's always possible. And we must be strong. And notice, secondly, we must fear not. Did you see that in verse 20? Notice that in verse 20. David said unto Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not. Would you say that with me, please? Fear not. Fear not. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Fear knocked. Faith answered. Nobody was home. When faith is canceling out fear, God begins to work and do great and mighty things. And let me tell you this, everything we do for God begins with an attitude. Everything. This service, what you get out of it, depends on the attitude you brought to it. Look at, everything we do begins with an attitude. Your day at work tomorrow will begin with an attitude. The way you approach a project. And David says, Solomon, I want you to have the right attitude about the temple. Here's the attitude. I want you to be strong, and I want you to do it, and I want you to fear not. Here's the attitude, my friends. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. My friend, It doesn't really matter the task. If it's a God-pleasing, God-ordained task, then you must recognize the importance of preparing your heart, preparing your mind. It's got to be approached with the attitude that God is able, God can provide. I'm going to continue by the grace of God. Be strong and do it. Fear not, David said. So we must, on the way to victory, first prepare our heart. Not the mind first, because the heart is where all spiritual matters must begin. Then we must prepare our mind. And then notice thirdly, we must prepare a pattern. There must be the preparation of a pattern. Now this is where some of you guys that build airplanes and buildings, listen, you've got the blueprint. You've just got a lot of reprobate hearts and minds you're working with, and sometimes that can be a challenge too. But I'll tell you right now, a carnal mind or a carnal heart is just as hard to work with. So you've got to have a spiritual heart, a ready mind, and then you've got to have the right pattern. Now look at verse 11. And David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat. Now, what I have found is that when the heart is pure, the vision is clear. So David, his heart was right with God. Now he could see what God wanted him to do, because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But David, now with a heart and with a mind in tune with God, now he could get the plan and he could work the plan to the glory of God. He had a pattern to follow. And I want you to think, first of all, briefly about the pattern of the temple. The pattern of the temple. You see, God was going to give to them a pattern to follow. And if a vision will survive, it must be accomplished with a strategy and accompanied by a strategy of faith. And so God says, I'm going to give you a pattern now to follow. And the pattern is reflective of the ultimate temple that would be built. Now think about this temple for a moment. Think about the distinction of the temple and what all was involved in this project. Just very quickly, this was 45 feet tall. It was 90 feet long. It was 30 feet wide. And it had furniture that had to be prepared, not only for the outer temple, but for the Holy of Holies. The candlesticks, the golden altar of incense, the tables of showbread, the silver candles, the brazen altar, all of the brazen laver. All of these pieces of equipment had to be prepared. Now, I am telling you, nothing would ever be prepared without willing minds and willing hearts. But once those things were prepared spiritually, now the workers could begin on the other things that needed to be done in order to service the worship of 4 million people. And these 24,000 priests who would make sacrifice on the days of holy days of sacrifice, they would be representing the 4 million people in this nation. And so they had a plan for their generation. By the way, God has a plan for this generation. And his plan is the local New Testament church. Now, David definitely prepared his heart, definitely prepared his mind, definitely had a pattern for the temple. But notice what else David did in chapter 29 and verse 2. Everybody with me? Chapter 29, verse 2. Now, David says, I have prepared. Would you say those three words with me? I have prepared. Okay, David says, now I have prepared with all my might, he says. And then notice this, for the house of my God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things of gold, made of gold, the silver to be things of silver, etc., etc. Here we see David personally prepared. David said to all of the people, I'm not asking you to do what I'm not doing. He said, I have personally prepared.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.